a very happy edition of the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast, coming to you in the wake of a superb 3-1 home win over Newcastle, which has well and truly got Norwich's Premier League season up and running. I am David Freezer, and I am alongside our group football editor, Paddy Davitt, and we're also joined by a new voice to the pod, City fan Andrew Ryan, who was in the South Stand for today's game. Paddy, I will come to you first. Just how impressed were you with that performance?
Super impressed, Dave, yeah. That was a statement of intent, no doubt about it, from back to front. The only blemish, obviously, letting Newcastle in for a goal right at the end of the game. But so the clean sheet would have really put the tin hat on it. But yeah, the sun was shining, and it was a very, very Farker had just been into his press conference, called it thunder and lightning in the first half. I think he meant in terms of the manner of Norwich's performance, and that did set the tone. We'll get on to the headline act, but as an afternoon, very uplifting, and it feels like Norwich are up to speed already in the Premier League.
Absolutely. Teemu Pukki, who else with the goals? First Premier League hat-trick for Norwich City in the top flight, a first top flight hat-trick for Norwich City since September 1993, since Effa Nkoku in that game against Everton when he scored four. So that kind of signals how good this performance was at hitting those sort of levels. Andrew, what did you make of it?
Well, it was a delight to be there, really. I mean, I think that there were signs in the second half at Liverpool that, from an attacking point of view, we could do this, we could break teams down. I think over the last couple of seasons, the League Cup ties against the Premier League teams demonstrated that style of football would have, you know, a positive impact at this level, and today was, a perfect example of that.
Well, it was certainly one of those days you got to savour, because I don't think they'll get too many 3-1 wins with that kind of a performance at the very least. We've got a little bit of Teemu Pukki coming your way, as well as a little bit of Grant Hanley before the pod is out. And hopefully our video guru, as we like to call him, Tony Thrussell, who's just eagerly working away at the moment, is going to join us before the end as well, because he has a slight affinity for Newcastle. So I'm interested to...
He's still crying at the minute. Yeah. He says he's working, but no, he's shaking his head, but he's definitely crying. I can see the tears. He's trying to hold him back.
I'm interested to hear his thoughts on Joe Linton, but let's get into the game then, Paddy. The positivity was pretty immediate, wasn't it? The atmosphere was great, the sun was shining. Cantwell and Pukki both had chances before Pukki took the lead for Norwich, and it was just a dominant performance, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and I guess the caveat with all of this discussion will be, was it Norwich was super good, or were Newcastle not really at the races? And I guess it's hard to definitively put that benchmark performance level. But for me, it was all about Norwich. I thought Newcastle's game plan clearly was to sit back a little bit deeper and hit Norwich on the counter, which allowed, and you touched on him there, Cantwell, Tribal and Liner. Those three really set the tone for me in the first half. They were allowed to get on the ball from a Newcastle perspective far too often, far too easily, and the speed and the tempo that they injected into the game, and of course that then brought Max Aarons, Jamal into the game, Emi Buendia, Stieperman, I thought a lot better than against Liverpool overall, and then the main man himself. So yeah, if there was a little bit of an invitation from the way Newcastle set up, Norwich certainly grasped the opportunity, and a very, very vibrant display. And Pukki will get the headlines, but I mean, Cantwell today, dear me, you know, pivotal for two of the goals, and just his all-round display. What a mature young man we're seeing there, 2 games into the Premier League. It looks like he doesn't, you know, feel that he's now trying to prove himself at this level. It feels like that he actually knows, or he feels he knows, that he belongs in the Premier League, and he's playing like a guy who's been at that level for a number of years. So everywhere you looked, for me, positives, and that includes Farker, who clearly got it spot on with his selections. You know, Leitner coming in for Kenny McLean, and boy, did that pay off.
It's that number 14 on his back, isn't it? It's working its magic. Wes would be proud. But there was a scare, wasn't there, before the goal? Joe Linton, as we say, £40 million signing from Hoffenheim, was it, in the summer, and he really should have put Newcastle ahead, shouldn't he?
He should have. I mean, that was the thing. Fine margins, but Norwich for the first 20 minutes or so, 3 or 4 good chances. Dubravka was very good, you know, coming off his line quickly, denied Cantwell, denied Pukki on a couple of occasions. But at 0-0, yeah, Norwich switch off a little bit, ball comes in, I think it was Richie, was it, crossed it from the right, and Hayden, you're right, yeah, and I'd have to see it back again. I only seen it once in real time, but clearly defensively wasn't good enough, because the guy's risen 8 yards out unmarked, and I don't know what he's done, whether he's seen it, whether it's come over the back of a notched defender and he's seen it late, or what.
It was Hanley. Hanley just couldn't reach it, I think, essentially. Yeah, it was possibly a nice dipping cross. He really sort of strained and just couldn't quite get to it.
But, you know, for a £40 million striker, we're making excuses. That should have been buried. Right, and then absolutely. It's 1-0, 1-0 Newcastle, and the game is totally different. Then there'll be a few nerves both on the park and around the stadium, and Newcastle probably grow even more into the game, because they were coming into it, I felt, from maybe 25 minutes onwards to half time. I thought they had a decent spell, so fine margins, but hey, you know, they didn't take their chances, and Norwich certainly did.
Let's talk about that goal then. By the time you guys are listening to this, I dare say you will have watched it many times, some of you dozens of times, I would have thought. It was an absolute cracker. A corner comes across, Mo Leitner keeps the attack alive, gets the ball back to Marco Stiepermann. He then turns it back wide to Buendia, cross comes back across, back over from the right, headed up, and then Timi Pukki is there to meet it on the volley. And how would you describe that goal, Andrew?
Awesome, I guess is the word. I mean, it's from where I was sitting in the south stand, I was right in line on that angle, and when it dropped, it was just perfect. The contact, the flight, it was just like a rocket going to the back of the net, and they deserved it. And I think, as you said, Leitner was key in that build-up, and I think he was key all throughout the game. He's, you know, on this evidence, he's a real Rolls-Royce of a player. The way that he takes the ball, he controls the ball, he sort of dominates play, he dictates the pace of it. And Newcastle just backed off him, and he was just drifting past player after player. And he, for me, I know that Pukki and Cantwell were probably the headline acts, but I think Leitner was probably the heartbeat of that performance.
That's good to hear, because I did him as our player watch, so people will be able to go and find that. That
almost
will be,
if you told Andrew to say
it
that.
It is.
I did think he was very good, and Tribal as well, I thought, really got stuck in. I thought that was a quite exceptional performance from him. He was pivotal, and you know, I'd written after the Liverpool game that I thought Leitner should start, and I'm pleased to see that Daniel reads my column. So, but no, he made the right call on that one. That was the only change, wasn't it, to the starting 11. Kenny McLean dropped to the bench, and yeah, Leitner really was pivotal. Let's move on to the second goal, which
Cantwell pivoted away from his marker. Yeah, and I put it in one of my pointers actually. Take your mind back to Reading last season when he really announced his arrival. Again, it was Cantwell darting through the centre of the park, perfectly timed pass, Pukki, one touch. In fact, I think the Reading goal, he just basically hit it first time. But today, similar sort of movement, that left-hand channel of the box for Newcastle, check inside, and then I've seen it back on the telly, what a finish. He's purposely, there's no luck involved, he's purposely put it through the legs of the defender, and in doing so he's wrong-footed Dubravka, whose obviously weight is going to his left-hand side. High quality finish from a player who, you know, if Cantwell looks like he's Premier League quality, then this guy, I don't know what label you'd attach to him, because 4 goals in 2 Premier League games. But that was a guy who knows every inch of his game and what he's good at, and the ability to execute in those high pressure moments. You know, there was, I don't know how many chances he missed in pre-season, but there's a reason why it's pre-season, because when it really matters, he's there, and you can rely on him. And but to underline a point, that goal owes everything to Cantwell's initial movement, yeah, and then the quality pass, the timing of the pass as well. High quality goal.
That was brave, I thought, from Todd. That was the kind of risk that he hasn't really been taking, maybe at times in the second half of last season. You know, he's taken a risk there to create something, and of course that doesn't come off every time. But I think it was after the Atalanta game when I interviewed him, when he said that he feels that him and Pukki have a real chemistry. I think we saw that, and then of course it was the third goal, which, funnily enough, actually takes Pukki to 34 goals for Norwich, which already makes him level 50th in the all-time top scorer charts for Norwich, level with Craig Bellamy and Chris Martin. So that is a heck of an achievement in a year, isn't it? And the third goal, Cantwell again pivotal. Came from Tim Krul claiming a corner really strongly, didn't it? Another good day for Krul. Stiepermann sets what looked to be Pukki initially through, but Pukki was offside, so he moved away from the ball. Cantwell luckily got onto it and kept attacking, and essentially that then meant that him and Pukki had a 2-on-1 situation. Pukki came back behind the ball, second phase of play, he's then onside, because in the instant that the ball ended up in the back of the net, my concern was, are we going to VAR here? Was that going to be offside? But no, Pukki had got himself onside and was then able to take advantage of Cantwell keeping the move alive and slot home quite easily, I suppose, from that distance. So a hat-trick. And at that point, Andrew, Carrow Road was absolutely bouncing, wasn't it?
It was. I think that there's always, when you play as well as we did in the first 15 minutes or so, but don't score, and then, of course, the Newcastle guy misses an absolute sitter. And from where I was, I've no idea how he missed that. And you fear the worst. You're thinking, here we go again. But they stuck at it. They kept their heads. They kept playing the way that they wanted to play. They kept the confidence in, even in defence, when it's a bit ropey and they're trying to play out. You're crossing your fingers sometimes, but the whole positivity from the crowd, the positivity of the players, it was a great day. Yeah. There's no other way of doing it. And Pukki is just tremendous. He's absolutely the ideal forward for that system they play. And you've got to love the way he scores. He's so cool in front of goal. And also, I think at one point he ran back 70 or 80 yards defensively to help his defence out. And you're just thinking, that man is... He epitomises all that's good about that side.
That was almost as loud a cheer as his goals, wasn't it? Hanley had sort of got himself out of bother, but was still under pressure. And then Pukki just emerges from nowhere midway through the second half, and what a cheer that got. Well, this seems an appropriate moment to hear from the main man himself. So here is a bit of Teemu Pukki's post-match reaction.
Teemu, a little stat for you.
Yeah.
You've moved into level 50th place in the club's all-time goal-scoring list by scoring those four goals. You've only been here a year. How does that make you feel?
Obviously, really, really proud. It's been a great time since the first day I came here, and it's been it's been best time of my career so far. I'm happy about that.
You moved level with Craig Bellamy and Chris Martin, by the way.
Okay.
We were talking in Germany after the Schalke game, saying life's great for you at the moment, isn't it? New contract, getting married and everything. Are you sort of still pinching yourself to an extent?
yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's been great couple of years already in my life, and I'm just happy how things are going, and I hope and believe things will just keep going well.
Moving forward, as long as these chances keep coming your way, I guess you just feel you're in such a good flow that as long as they keep coming, you're going to keep putting them away.
Yeah, of course, that's what I believe, and already in the first half I got a couple chances where I could score early as well. So like I said, like this team, they are creating a lot of chances, and it's just enjoyable to play with these guys.
Straight on to another tough game, Chelsea at home next week. But after a result like that, you're all going to bounce into that one.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's one of the top teams in this league. So, but we can take a lot of positive out of this game, and have a good week in training, and we'll be ready on Saturday.
Okay, unfortunately, there was one negative to finish on, so we're going to have to go to that, because I do feel we've been...
Hold on, Dave, is the negative Tony about to join us?
Excellent, good timing.
Only negative from a Newcastle perspective.
Well, unfortunately for Grant Hanley, after his horror moment at Liverpool, that own goal, he was involved in 94th minute. Unfortunately, the clean sheet goes out the window, which is a real shame, because I think Norwich had deserved it, and Krull was probably really disappointed. Hanley was definitely disappointed, as you'll hear afterwards. He said, wasn't too down, because on the back of a 3-1 win, but Shelby gets into the box and attacks him, and Hanley just sort of seemed to be sold by almost a bit of a sway of the body, went one way and then almost sort of tripped a little bit and left a clear path for Shelby to put the ball into the back of the net. But I'll come to you first then, Tony. In terms of Newcastle, that was kind of the only positive of a pretty worrying day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to a Newcastle fan outside who'd travelled all that way, and he seemed overly confident that they were going to win 2-3-0.
This is before the game.
This is before the game, yeah. Definitely not after. So I think there's still that element of Norwich are a newly promoted side, so we're going to win 2-0. That's probably what every single club is going to say this year, but you see what they've done out there. And for me, that's the first time I've seen Newcastle play shockingly, horribly negative like that in a long time. I mean, Benitez against Man City, yes, but I don't know, it just felt like none of the players were on Bruce's side. Nothing seemed to click for them. There seemed like there was no chemistry. And I mean, the striker, I mean, the less said about him the better. 40 million when Pukki was free. You compare Pukki to him, what he offers, and it's just I mean, what's the world coming to?
40 million.
I do think Pukki scoring last week has probably helped him today. Yeah. Joelinton, if he'd have scored last week, maybe confidence you get snowballed. But I mean, yeah.
Well, I thought on the whole, there was one early slip from Hanley, wasn't there, where he got closed down pretty quickly after the kickoff. But otherwise, I thought him and Godfrey looked really determined and formed a pretty solid wall in front of Krill before, obviously, that late disappointment.
Yeah, he will be quite sore, I think, when he sees that back, because that did just mar what would have been a very good centre back performance. But Ben Godfrey, for me, dear oh Lord, I mean. When Newcastle did have that good spell in the first half and they were trying to break with speed, I mean, the gears that man just goes through, there was two or three occasions when he's ran back towards his own goal and essentially he's in a leg race with a Newcastle player. And he, on the back of the Liverpool performance where I thought he was probably the pick of Norwich's defenders, he's a bit like Cantwell, he's another one who has thought, yeah, this is me, this is my environment, I'm going to stick my chest out and I'm going to show I can play at this level as good as any player. And it did work with Grant today. I thought Grant was very keen not to get allow Joelinton to get turned or anything like that. You know, he was very aggressive in his one on one defending, and I think that's the way he has to play. That's his game really. If he gets isolated, you fear for him, and particularly with the speed, he certainly hasn't got Godfrey's gas. So as a blend, it worked quite well today. Yeah.
And funnily enough, you could almost say that most people would say Emi Buendia is probably Norwich's best player, and he probably hasn't quite got going yet, has he? So that's a real positive to have in the back pocket almost.
Yeah, no, well, there was the assist for the goal that was a little more than the consolation at Anfield, but we don't need him at the minute. With Pukki firing, we might need him maybe next week against Chelsea.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's not been bad or anything, is he? But he's better than what he showed today, I think. But overall, a worrying day for Newcastle, I guess. And from a Norwich point of view, I think this is one of those days where all this talk that we've had in terms of the national media and just not getting it, just not understanding what Norwich are trying to do, there's going to be a lot of comments on radio and in newspapers almost taking a backward step now and saying, oh, hang on, maybe we should have listened to the Norwich fans. I got a message after the game from one of my mates saying, are you going to ring up TalkSport? Which I won't be. I will very much be... Before I try and sort of say I was right in any kind of way, because there's a long, long way to go. There's still 36 matches to go. Just because you won 3-1 in August does not mean that you're going to survive in the Premier League. They've got to keep that sort of level consistently for quite a long while. But from the outside looking in, Andrew, do you worry for Newcastle and the situation they're in, the negativity?
I'm not in the slightest bit bothered about Newcastle. Yeah, I mean, it can't be a great environment for the club at the moment, for the players. You've got the fans, even today, were singing for the owner to get out, and they don't seem to have embraced Bruce. The heads did seem to drop a bit. And I think these are the sort of games that we need to get points in. You know, it's all nice to go to Liverpool and Man City, but we're not competing against them. Yeah. We've got to compete against Newcastle and the lesser team like that, and that's all we can do.
Okay, in terms of Newcastle then, Tony, just final word on them. Are you concerned now? Do you think they could be heading towards a relegation battle? Because, I mean, if they continue like that, Steve Bruce, who, of course, popular in these parts from, that goal against Ipswich, and he played very well for Norwich as a player, but if they continue to play like that, he's not going to be in that job very long, is he?
No, I mean, it's not his fault, though, is it? Let's be honest. I mean, you look at their recent history, and it's been a cycle, a couple of years up, relegation, a couple of years up, relegation, so they could be on for the third one if they carry on.
Well, that would be good news for Norwich, because we're all looking for those three teams who can be below Norwich, and as we all know, just surviving 1 year at this level financially would just change the course of the
just
club's
interestingly,
future.
When they did come up last time, Lascelles was talked about being a big money move to, say, Chelsea. Mm. Godfrey now is kind of overtaken him. He's the one where you could see moving on to a bigger team.
Yeah, and not...
Don't sell him yet. not until next summer at the least, you know, when they've stayed up.
Well, if he keeps going in this vein, he's just showing all the character of a top player, isn't he? I mean, and beyond... You know, Rio Ferdinand's involved with him in a commercial way, isn't he? Because he's a mentor for Ben's agency. Mm. But that's probably not accidental that they've been brought together in that way, because there is sort of reminiscence of Rio Ferdinand in his game, isn't there? He's got that real big character and determination to him. He really looks like a guy who's going to thrive.
He's a fantastic role model, because what a player Rio was in his pomp. And you look at the mechanics of that game, that guy's game. I mean, physically, as an athlete, he's Premier League. You know, you can see him. He's got the pace. We've seen that again today in the first half. Don't underestimate his range of passing. We've all seen him pinging those diagonal balls from sort of left to Max Ahrens. All he's really lacking probably is that experience, because you mustn't forget that he only really came into the Norwich first team around the turn of this year, at Christmas time. Got his chance when there was those injuries to Closer and Zimmerman. So in terms of his career development, he's only in the first sort of flush of his career. So we maybe don't want to overburden him with too many expectations at the minute, but every test has been put in front of him in an Norwich shirt, he's passing with flying colours. So long may that continue. But him, Ahrens, Lewis, and now Cantwell, there might be some telephone numbers getting talked about. Yeah, exactly. Stuart Webber might be rubbing his hands, but as we say, just to reiterate, not maybe until next summer, thank you.
New stadium.
What, just on those three?
100 plus mil, you could be talking.
Well, you could certainly at least rebuild the city stand.
New stand,
yeah. Right, let's hear a bit from Grant Hanley then.
Well, congratulations. How pleased are you guys with that result as a starting point?
No, massively. I think it's, you know, especially after last week, to, you know, we kind of got it started, been to bounce back for that way a win, and, you know, an emphatic win, it's, you know, the lads are buzzing, and, you know, it's a good feeling.
Let's get the negative bit out of the way. The little bit at the end, you must have been disappointed with it. But does the positivity of the day overall override it for you?
No, we were, and, you know, especially as defenders and Big Tim and goals as well. But the whole team, you know, were disappointed with that. And, you know, that's the first thing we spoke about when we got in, and there was, you know, a few heated words. But and I think that shows, you know, what we're all about, and, you know, what we're looking to do, and the, you know, demands we put on each other. I mean, once the emotion of that settles down and you get past it, and that's a massive 3 points for us.
Prior to that, obviously there was the difficulties of last week, but that all finished on a high. I thought you and Ben really had the bit between your teeth, and you looked very determined before that little negative towards the end. So did you feel, before that happened, you were pleased with what had happened?
You've got to keep mentioning negative bit at the end, or what?
I'm trying to get it out of the way, so we can focus on the positives.
No, I think so. I mean, obviously we wanted to respond for last week. You know, it was a tough start for us, but you know, we were disappointed with it. Like you said, I think we were better in the second half last week, but, you know, to bounce back and get a win, and that's what it's all about, and, you know, we're pleased with that.
And you personally, against your former club, big Premier League chance, how fired up are you for this now?
No, of course, it's where you want to be at the end of the day, isn't it? When you start playing football, you want to play in the best league in the world, it's the Premier League. You know, we've got an opportunity to do that, so, you know, it's no wonder what we miss.
Tom Anna, just finally, Chelsea, another big game. I guess you're all just going to be bouncing into that full of confidence.
I think we'll enjoy this one first. Yeah. Look forward to next week, Monday.
No worries. Well done, Grant. Cheers.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.
Right, well, we are recording in the aftermath of the game on Saturday, so we obviously haven't seen Match of the Day and things like that, but I have a feeling they may well be showing that yellow wall celebrating with Daniel Farke at full time, and the Farke waves. You know, he didn't do them at Liverpool, wasn't appropriate, they'd lost despite the positivity, but they really went for it. All the flags, all the colour, the sun shining down, Carrow Road felt like a very happy place. How was Daniel's mood? Was he trying to sort of keep feet on the ground in that classic sort of manager way, or was he just beaming like a Cheshire cat?
A bit of both. Internally he was beaming, I think, but yeah, I mean, he was predictably asked about Pookie, predictably asked about Cantwell. He came back with his stock answer when he talks about any of the young players, that he doesn't like to praise them overly. There was a really nice line, though, now I think about it, on Cantwell. He said, I don't give out presents, so if that guy's in the team, he's delivering. It's not good enough to be a local hero, I think it was even the phrase he used. So, yeah, nobody disagreed from what we've seen both today and obviously the Liverpool game, that guy is delivering and is justifying his place in the team. In general, I think you could tell that he was he was a very happy head coach after that game, because he's put a plan in place, he's trusted those players, he's brought Leitner in, and it's almost every card he played today has paid off. And for a head coach, that must be hugely satisfying. Mm-hmm. And let's get it straight, Daniel Farke's first win as a Premier League manager. It's a big milestone for him, as much as it is for the players, and you would think that will only give him another burst of self-confidence as well, that he knows his methods, because he obviously knew you only have to put a trophy on the table. His methods were more than effective in the Championship. Would they work in the Premier League? Well, on the evidence of the first two games, you would have to say yes. His coaching would appear to be able to produce results, and that's a great position to be in if you're a Norwich fan.
Our first Premier League win for Ahrens, Godfrey, Lewis, Tribal, Leitner, Steepman, Campwell, Buendia, Pukki, all of them. They're just, that Premier League experience isn't there. I know some of them have got Bundesliga experience, but that was a massive, massive day in a lot of careers, and really opens eyes for what could be ahead for a lot of them this year. You know, fingers crossed if they continue playing like that. And of course, they're going to need to, because, Andrew, I'll come to you, Chelsea next week. It's going to be a real tough one, isn't it? That, you know, they pushed Liverpool hard in the Super Cup final. I know they had a difficult opening weekend against Manchester United, and Frank Lampard is trying to sort of almost start something fresh there. But that's now going to be the sort of minimum level Norwich is going to have to hit to get anything out of that game, you would have thought.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they've obviously been in Europe for however many years, they've had hundreds of millions of pounds spent on their squad. But those, as I said, well, those aren't the games that we need to get too carried away with if we win or get a result, and be too disheartened if we get thumped, because they're in a different league within a league to us. But it'll be really interesting to see what will happen if we can maintain that level of performance from today on Saturday, because they are top players, and I think we could cause them, and over-optimistically, maybe Man City some real problems. I'm full of misplaced optimism.
1 point behind Man City.
I like that. Now, Manchester City, Champions League won't have fired up by then, will it? So, no, they won't have played a midweek.
Is that before the international break?
It's after it, isn't it? So,
Champions League starts after international break.
Yeah, so they might be thinking ahead. I have to have a look at the fixtures on that one. But yeah, that, I mean, Manchester City, if they get anything out of that, that would be a heroic effort. But Chelsea, they're not quite on that same level at the moment, are they? So we shall see. There's going to be a lot of excited build up to it. One word, Tony, and I'll come to you, Paddy, as well, to describe the Pukki goal, the first one, the volley into the top left corner.
For myself, it was confusion, because
really, because
initially I thought it had hit the side netting and then gone round behind.
Oh right,
But then, I mean, it was just watching the replay, incredible.
I thought you were going to say disappointment then. Let your black and white tinted spectacles. Yeah,
and your one word, Pad.
Sublime, mate. Sublime. Just everything about that. The execution was perfect. The control, because you know you don't hit a ball as pure as that unless. You know, you've got high levels of technique, so yeah, sublime, mate.
I'll go with rocket. I don't think that's just because I watched Apollo 13 last night. But yeah, just the way he connected. It was almost like Alex Tetti's goal, but obviously a lot closer to goal and in the other corner. But it was at the same end, wasn't it, at the river end. So it just, the contact, and he almost, I'm not sure who it was. Was it Buendia? No, it wasn't Buendia. Yeah, there was a player sort of in his way.
Cantwell.
Was it Campwell? Yeah, and he just basically said, get out of the way. I'm having this one. So that was a great moment, and yeah, we can really look forward to the rest of the season now, because that's teed up everything nicely. Right, well, thank you very much, chaps, for that. That was we flew through that very quickly. Plenty to talk about. I don't think we're going to struggle for things to write about this week, are we? I should just say to you that this podcast is brought to you by Archant Podcasts, and anybody that's interested in sponsoring us or advertising the show can email matt.withers@archant.co.uk. That's Withers, W-I-T-H-E-R-S. As I said last week, we've been going for over 10 years, and we'll be keeping going strong as best as we can throughout this season. And as ever, this is your podcast as much as it is ours. So if you'd like to get in touch, then please do. And another thing we'd quite like to hear from you is where you listen to the show. When we had a few tweets from last week's one, there was one from Canada. And so we're always interested in where you listen to the show. The weirder the better, if anything. But we've certainly had plenty from America. And
well, that was a really good segue, that, Dave.
I didn't even know you were going to do that either. But I'm going to have to let you take the lead on this story, Pad. Yeah, but we had a present from the States.
We did.
I wasn't planning to segue into this, but
Virginia Tech. Well, Tony, let Tony explain the present. I'll just read the letter we were sent.
So it's a Virginia Tech Hokies. Is that their nickname, Hokies? I'm guessing.
Which is a college, I guess.
Yeah, must be. It's a bottle hugger. You basically put your little beer bottle in, keeps it cold.
Which we often have plenty of at a game.
Exactly.
But the I guess in hotter countries, the idea is to keep your beer.
It's a very American Australian invention, I think. Mm-hmm.
We don't have too much cause for it here, but just explain further, Pat.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, we had a lovely letter and the what are they called again, Tony?
The Hokies.
From Stephen Noakes. So thank you, Stephen. Very much appreciated. Who basically is from the... Well, he's based in the hometown of Blacksburg. The university is called Virginia Tech. And the Hokies is the nickname for their American football team. 68,000 stadium, apparently, talking of stadiums. College team. He teaches first-year undergrads, which is great fun and challenging. And he's thanking us for... I presume he must have a Norwich connection. He was at the QPR game last season, apparently. That was his first Norwich game in 17 years. So we're assuming he's a son of Norfolk or a strong Norwich City connection. And he's just thanking us for all our coverage. So, as you say, Dave, we go far and wide.
And just to get through a few of those who let us know this week where they are listening from. Joachim Broberg is from Tidaholm in Sweden. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Nathan Burtonshaw is in Mordor, a.k.a. Leeds. Charles Gray listens in Sydney, Australia. I would imagine he may well be making the effort to go and see a certain Mr. Houlihan playing for Newcastle Jets, which is also in New South Wales, during the A-League season. And the final one I've got for now is Wayne Smith, who is listening in Toronto, Canada. Mm. So keep them coming. It's really interesting to hear where everybody listens to the pod from. I think from our online stats, we do get quite a lot of people outside of the UK who consume our stuff on our websites, on the app, and listen to the pod. So that's always good fun, and like I say, the weirder the better. So we will leave things there. Enjoy your week. I'm sure that's not going to be hard on the back of a 3-1 win. We will catch up with you guys ahead of the Chelsea game. As I say, plenty to enjoy at pinkton.com throughout the week, and we will catch up with you soon. So thank you very much for listening.